I'm Jane Timke, a volunteer at KTWH. I'm sitting in here in the studio with Royal Miller, our guest today. He's from Two Harbors and a familiar person for those of you who've lived here for many years. Royal, the first time you were interviewed was back in 2015. Dave Anderson from the Beet Farm had you as his first live guest on his show. You know, it was really great hearing your songs you played live in the studio. You played again in 2017, both times you played your accordion, and I'd like to take it from there. I had a chance to listen to the tunes and some of your interview, and I'd like to follow up on that. So I'm going to ask the obvious question. When did you start playing?
Oh, I was afraid you'd ask that because I didn't start till I was 80 years old, and so I've been playing now for 10 years.
Oh, that sounds, you know, when I think about learning something at age 80,
right.
That sounds harder than learning to drive.
Yeah, you know, I was looking around for something to do. You know, you should be active. And so that's what I decided to do, is take up an instrument. And this looked so easy, but it
wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I'm wondering, why the accordion? What if you could pick up an instrument?
Well, I'm partly Scandinavian and partly German, and I used to go to old-time dances every weekend, and so I used to watch the Shimoleskis.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, that looks like fun, and it looks easy. I think that's the instrument I should take up, because it was kind of a natural feel in me anyway, you know.
Well, so it sounds as though you'd been listening to the accordion and enjoying it for many years before you took it up.
Oh, absolutely.
I was wondering, when you went, were you going to dances?
Dances, every Saturday night. And it's good exercise, too.
Where did you grow up?
I went to school in Miami, Florida.
Oh, that's interesting.
And grade school. And high school in Duluth, because my father worked back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wound up in the Army after that, in the Korean War.
Okay, well, that, I think I'd like to, we'll talk about that in a little bit, because that's really interesting to me. I know it's going to tie in with something else I'd like to talk to you about. I'm going to go back to the music for a second. Who do you enjoy listening to nowadays?
Well, I'm still hooked into, I think, back in the 50s, the nostalgia of the tunes we had, and it brings back the friends that I had, and I just love the 50s. And I think the world was a little less complicated. So Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, people like that.
Well, I do know that one of the songs you played during one of the interviews, I think it was during 2017, you played Fascination.
Oh, yeah.
And that's such a beautiful, beautiful tune.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'd like to have you play some music here. I just want to ask again, what style of music do you like to play? You've told me what you like to listen to, but for yourself, what kind of music do you play?
Well, just for something, quick right, for today, I'm going to play old time. But I really have a program now that I play for nursing homes.
Ah.
And I play things like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. And I Left My Heart in San Francisco. More old standards. The audience is changing.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the nursing home to play, I thought, well, I need to play for these old folks. And I looked around and a lot of them were younger than I was. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, you've had to roll with the changes.
Even where you play,
the
venue, you have to kind of target the music to the people that you're going to play for. I just played for two of my good friends at their funeral. Used to be at mm-hmm. right at the coffee. Used to be at the coffee here.
Next door at Judy's?
At Judy's.
Oh, that's
and,
very nice.
And Cliff and Daryl Johnson used to be the, you know, Daryl, used to be the choir director and at the school. And I played, so I played at their funeral. I played in the garden. And the thing was, it was wonderful because spontaneously, everybody in the room starts singing that song.
Oh, gosh.
And yeah. So, you know, it was good.
It was the perfect selection by the sound of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like, are you ready, or would you like to play us a couple of tunes?
Yeah, well, I'll play a little something.
Great. Song?
It's an old Finnish tune.
Well, I have a question about that. For those of you who are tuning in, I'm interviewing Royal Miller here at KTWH, and he's been playing accordion for us, and he's going to play another song, though, in a little bit. But he's just finished playing a Finnish song, and I was going to ask you, I heard that you had grown up speaking Finnish. Did you learn Finnish at some point?
At one point, my grandparents were immigrants from Finland, and my parents were in Florida for the winter, and they left me with my grandparents, and they didn't speak a word of English.
How old were you?
I was about 4 or 5.
Oh, my.
And so when I went to the first grade, I really sort of had to learn English again. The good part is I still remember, you know, some of my Finn. And Grandma used to always say, oh, don't ever forget your Finn, you know. And they want you to remember the language and the culture. I'm really proud of my grandparents.
Well, that's kind of an unusual story. I really like that. The fact that, you know, you learned it from your grandparents, but your parents didn't speak Finnish.
No.
And
my mother did.
Your mother did.
Yeah.
Okay. When you moved up here, did you have the opportunity to speak Finnish with people that you knew up here?
No, not up here, but every once in a while. I got a little story that I tell. I was in Duluth, and there was two ladies waiting for the bus, and they were talking and speaking in Finn. And one said to the other, I wonder where the Sears Roebuck store is. And so I was standing there waiting for the bus, too. And so I walked up to him and I spoke to him in Finnish and told him where the store was. And they were kind of astonished because, you know, they didn't expect that coming. At the time, I was like about 25 or something, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And so they were a little surprised. So whenever I can surprise someone like that, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you've retained it, and that's, well, you learn it at age 4, and it's with you
yeah.
for the rest of your life.
It is.
I'm looking at that gorgeous accordion. It's got a lot of pearly white on it, and it's quite large. What size would you call that? Like, what style of accordion is that you're playing, Royal?
This is a Pan Italia, and it's what they call a lightweight. And I have actually three or four accordions, and I've got a larger one with microphones in it that I can plug in to it, big amplifiers. And I use that if I'm going to play, especially outdoors, where your sound don't travel very far.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's very heavy. This weighs 13 pounds, and that one weighs 30 pounds.
Oh, that's a huge difference. Do you play it sitting down, obviously?
I mean, yeah, and I do.
Yeah, I mean.
But I see, I mean, there's people mm-hmm. that play it standing up, mm-hmm. little girls even. that's what really gets me.
So it's a Pan Italia. We were chatting outside the door here. Were you saying that most of the accordions are made in Italy nowadays?
Yes, yeah. They used to be made, there was companies in America, but then the labor cost became too great, and you had to get too much for the accordion,
mm-hmm.
because this one here, brand new, is $7,000,
mm-hmm.
but they can run all the way up to $50,000, and so I don't know why, but then all instruments, like a Stradivarius mm-hmm. could cost you mm-hmm. a couple of million, I guess.
Well, I know there's a great amount of craftsmanship that goes into building accordions and maintaining them, I imagine.
Yeah.
Do you have to take it in every so often and have it maintained in any way?
The main thing is to keep the dust out.
Mm-hmm.
If the reeds get dusty, then they start not working properly.
Mm-hmm. Did you take lessons early on? I'd love to hear about that.
Yes, I was going by the police station in Superior, and right across was this building, this church, and it says accordion lessons. And I thought, I'm going to go in there and see if they'd give me lessons. And I met Hilmi Harrington.
She the founder?
Founder.
And curator. And
yes. And it's like they have about, right now I think they have about 2,000 accordions in there.
Oh, gosh.
From, the early, when they were invented.
Mm-hmm.
They were invented, by the way, in China.
Really?
And brought to Italy by people like Marco Polo,
So that's a really old instrument.
Yeah. It wasn't like this at that time, but it was an instrument that blew air over reeds. And then it started taking this shape with people from Austria.
Adding the keyboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I understand she's the teacher for the whole area. She's just incredibly well-versed and has a huge worldwide reputation.
She's a PhD.
Okay.
And she's got a whole wall full of diplomas.
Uh-huh.
Well,
that was one of the more interesting. I really loved my day at the World of Accordions, I think it's called.
World of Accordions.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about Finnish, and I've asked you if you play any Finnish songs. We got to hear that one from you. Would you like to play another one of your songs?
Well.
Or do you want to hold off?
Well, I thought as we talk here, just for the fun of it, you can take your accordion to a picnic or a campfire, and just play it anywhere. And then you can play just fun songs like 5'2".
Okay.
And so I'd like to show you how we do that,
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Yeah.
Yay! Oh, that's one of my favorite early songs.
5 foot two.
5 foot two?
Yeah.
Eyes of Blue?
Yeah.
Coochie, 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 coo.
Coochie, coochie.
I loved what you just said before that about bringing your accordion to picnics and campfires.
Yeah, it could be a fun instrument that way, you know. Or, you know, just like guitars are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty portable.
Yeah, portable.
You said you had I forget what the larger accordion is. What did you call that? The one with the speakers built in?
Yeah, the one that I have happens to be tuned different also.
Okay.
And the reeds are tuned so that they have a more wow factor. Wow, 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 wow.
Wah, wah.
Wow, wow, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they do that more. They do that on engineers. Figure out how, you know.
Well, they've got a wah-wah pedal on guitars, on electric guitars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so they tune some special accordions that way.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned you played at festivals. Now, would these be like Finnish festivals, or do you still go to some of those?
I played like, what do they call it, farmers markets.
Ah.
Up at Hugo's. I got my start up at Hugo's playing out. And I used to play with Dave, you know, the Beat.
Dave Anderson, yeah. From the Beat Farm?
Yeah. And I'd bring my accordion up there, and he'd say, well, come on, Miller, you know, give us a tune, and I'd give a chance to play. And so I had a lot of fun up there doing that. But, so I play anywhere, you know.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun and for everybody else in the community. Well, you know, it comes to the logical point here. I know I didn't grow up here in Two Harbors, but I keep hearing about a restaurant that was called Miller's. I understand your family owned it. When did it open?
Well, my family, my folks, had it for 2.5 years. I had it for 31 years.
Hmm.
And so I operated it for 31 years. And then I sold it, and about 3 years later, that burned down.
Oh, gosh. You know, and I've heard that story. I think it was right near the studio here, wasn't it? I mean, was it?
Yeah,
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it's on the same, you know, down from Judy's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple questions. So I found out how long you owned it. Did you say 31 years?
Mm-hmm.
What were you known for there? What were some of your specialties?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. A woman, this happened just lately. A woman says, I said, I'm Royal Miller. She says, are you the Royal Miller? You're famous, aren't you? Well, I says, I don't know. Some people might think. I says, does that mean you've heard me play? She says, no. She says, because of your lutefisk.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh.
So it was kind of a funny thing, you know. And we were famous for lutefisk.
A seasonal dish.
Yeah. I started out selling one box, 50 pounds. And after a while, we were selling literally a ton of lutefisk. A ton.
Were you making it?
Well, I was cooking
it. I mean, no, but I mean, that's, I mean, when I say making it, I mean, I've seen it in the vats.
Yeah. Well, we don't do that. You wouldn't have the room for
right,
that.
Right, right.
But
you were selling large quantities of
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
And we cooked it, and it was a good thing for us because nobody else was doing it, and it would bring, let's say, you for lutefisk, but maybe you would want meatballs, you know, and so you'd gain a customer that way.
So it sounds as though you had a kind of a Scandinavian menu, at least at certain times of the year.
Yeah. The menu would change according to seasons,
uh-huh.
too. After a while, we got into, like, tacos,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
sort of that modernized.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that taco salad, that Finns would be buying taco salads, you know, but they do.
Oh, yeah. Well, say, getting back to lutefisk, were people ordering it by mail? Was it a mail order thing, or were they coming in to pick it up?
Oh, they would eat it in the restaurant.
Eat it just in those quantities, yeah. Okay?
No, but I mean, you know, they would come. Oh, I had convoys come from Minneapolis.
Oh, you're kidding. That's wonderful.
Ashland.
Uh-huh, which is where I used to live.
Hibbing.
Uh-huh.
You know, all over like that.
Oh, that's really interesting. It was a real draw card for you.
Yeah.
Did you have a breakfast crowd, or were you open all day?
Yeah, we were a lot like Judy's. Family restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I imagine you had a regular crowd for that.
Yeah. The thing was, we tried to give you good, wholesome food and for a reasonable price. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were aiming at.
Were you the cook, or who? What role did you play in the restaurant?
I was a professional chef.
Oh, okay.
Before I had the restaurant, I was a professional chef in hotels in Duluth, Twin Cities, California.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. Where was your first job as a professional chef?
In Duluth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When I was starting up, I kind of worked a lot of different places, mm-hmm. you know.
Did you work like in restaurants or cafes or hotel?
Restaurants and hotels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Banquets,
okay.
Yeah. Everything.
So I imagine you were cooking for weddings. Yeah.
I wound up, you know, in the service, and I was a mess sergeant there.
Oh, really?
So I was still cooking there.
When you say the service, which branch?
I misspoke before. I was in the Air Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in the Air Force and worked as in the mess. What did you call it, a mess?
A mess sergeant.
Mess sergeant.
Mess hall is military talk for a dining room. I don't know why they call it a mess.
Did you say it was the Korean War?
Korean War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so how young were you when you went to Korea? Or what age were you?
We were, most of us were 19.
Okay.
18 or 19 when we were inducted.
Sure. Yeah. And how many years were you over there, and then did you come back to Two Harbors?
I never left the States, so.
Okay, well, so then you came back and you worked many places and ended up with Miller's, the restaurant.
Yeah, not right away. I had some bumps along the way.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, there's another thing. You're talking about being in the Air Force. I also understand, and I think you mentioned at the very beginning, that you have a pilot's license.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you have had for many years? Did you start flying right after?
Yeah.
What age were you?
Well, when I was in the Air Force, you know, I wanted to be a pilot, of course, and I didn't have college credits, so they wouldn't even talk to me about that. So I thought, okay, when I get out of here, I'm going to buy an airplane and learn to fly, and I'm going to fly one way or the other. And so I did. So then my wife and I, we bought a plane, and we flew all over the country.
That was one of my questions, whether you owned a plane.
Yeah, had a real nice one.
What were you flying?
It was a Cessna Skyhawk 172, it's called.
When did you buy the plane? I'm just wondering what period that
1975.
The 70s, okay. Did you continue flying then for much of your life?
Yeah. I finally quit when I was still able to fly, but, you know, as you get older, there's a lot of decisions to make. And you can make a good decision, but it still might not be the best one, if you know what I mean. Kind of like when you take a test in school and they have two right answers, but one is the better answer.
Sure.
And that's how it is in flying. So you have to have good judgment.
Mm-hmm. And make fast decisions, I imagine.
Yeah, and your life depends on it.
Yeah. So when you had the plane, you kept it here in Two Harbors? Is there at the airport?
Yeah, I was one of the founders, you know, getting the Two Harbors airport going.
Hmm.
And it was kind of interesting because after supper, a lot of people would turn out up at the airport working on it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was so democratic because there was doctors there and, you know, janitors and bus drivers and cooks, like, you know. I mean, such a diverse. And there's been many things in Two Harbors done like that. It's kind of a wonderful thing, I think.
Boy, that's a really strong sense of community.
Yeah, we have it here in Two Harbors.
That's a very interesting story about the airport, and that's grown to be a very thriving and busy.
Yeah, and I had my own hangar up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there was, I think, 8 of us that built it ourselves. You know.
So how does that work with a hangar when you say you had your own hangar? Is it like you share it or you have your own? How many planes?
This was a long building with individual, like a garage.
Mm-hmm.
Only put a plane in it, you know. And so each one had their own space. And there's one big hangar there that's usually done for servicing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they might have a mechanic up there now. But, you have to have it inspected once a year and have an airworthiness certificate and all of that.
Well, it sounds like, that it's a big hobby. It's more than a hobby.
And it's expensive, and I've flown the Cirrus airplane. You know, that airplane, I think, is a couple of million now. Back in my day, we used to buy them for a new airplane for $15,000.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
but,
yeah, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, but, they're better now.
Mm-hmm.
They have de-icing on the wings and the prop and, radios are better. Everything's better on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's faster.
Well, this has just been fascinating. It's wonderful to learn more about you. People know about your restaurant. They know about the accordion, but the business about your having learned Finnish and your life as a pilot. I mean, this has been very, very interesting, Royal. I really appreciate your coming by here at the studio and bringing your accordion and playing some tunes for us. It's just been terrific meeting you, Royal, and I hope to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.